Welcome and thanks for listening. This is your Nebraska Judicial Branch.
Hello and welcome. I am your host for today, Gene Cotter. I have been with the Nebraska Judicial Branch for almost 30 years, serving 20-ish years or so as a probation officer and the last 10 as a chief and in the administrative office. One of the most rewarding aspects of working for the judicial branch is the material difference that our employees throughout the state have in the lives of Nebraskans. The programs and services of the Nebraska Judicial Branch serve us all, ensuring access to justice, protection of the vulnerable, and bringing us closer to safer communities. Probation strives not just for compliance with the law, but for restoration of the lives for the individuals in society. It is an integral part of the healing process that benefits the client, the community, and as I can personally attest, the officer. Today, I'm thrilled to be joined by Nebraska State Probation Administrator, Deb Minardi. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Gene.
You've been with probation for a day or two. You've worked your way up through the ranks. I think you were raised in this system much like I was. Can you just maybe start by telling us a little bit about your career in Nebraska probation?
Well, I always find myself starting with a story that takes me actually back to college. And while I was in college, I was engaged in a work-study program. I really started in college in architecture. And it was only because of the work-study program that I got introduced to mentoring young women who are engaged in the juvenile justice system. And I met a couple of probation officers who asked me to take a trip with them and some youth that were on probation to Colorado. And during that trip, I discovered that there was much more to probation than just telling people what to do and telling people how to do it. And it really intrigued me because there's so much to the idea of why people do what they do and what they're thinking and why they think the way they do, that I found myself really interested in this whole idea about behavior change, not only what makes someone do what they do, but also what it takes to change somebody. And that's really what triggered me. And I literally moved from architecture to human service, at which point in time I was fortunate enough that shortly after my college career, I immediately got onto the probation office. And as you mentioned, have progressed throughout the years as an officer and as a chief deputy probation officer and then a chief probation officer and then a deputy administrator and now the administrator. But I so remember that there was a point in time where I wondered if it was worth it. All my friends were leaving probation, and I wondered what was wrong with me. Why did I stay? What was it that made a difference? And I discovered that helping people change their lives made a difference, that that's where I wanted to be and what I wanted to do.
Do you feel like you came to probation, or did probation come to you? Were you basically called into the field, and here's where you've been?
I definitely was called into the field. Like I said, I started in architecture, and quite frankly, I feel like I still build. I help to build people. I help to build lives. I help to build differences in communities. So I still feel like that in many ways I'm an architect, but it was definitely a calling. And I've never looked back. I've never regretted it. Even when my friends were leaving, I realized that it was okay to stay, because this is where I was supposed to be. This is where I needed to be. This is where I belonged.
Have you been in the, I believe, year 38, something like that? Maybe, is that
no,
right?
No, actually, August 1st will be year 40.
Year 40. Well, first off, thank you for your service. I'm hitting year 30 in August myself. Can you talk a little bit about the evolution of probation from 40 years ago to today?
Well, I can assure you it has been an evolution. When I first started in probation, we were heavily engaged in treatment. And most people who were placed on probation were somehow, some way involved in the treatment community. But the rapid change happened, and we went into an era of trail 'em, nail 'em, jail 'em, and three strikes and you're out, and punishment. And I think that's where I became the most disillusioned, because I realized that that wasn't working. And I wondered if that was all there was. And it seemed like no matter how much we tried to punish people, they didn't change. And it wasn't until we started to discover what was then being referred to as the new thing around evidence-based practice, that I realized that there was really research behind what we did and there was really best practice behind what we did. And I remember feeling this renewed sense of purpose because it started to make sense about how people really change and what it took to change. And I think that evolution has helped to get us where we are today, about following best practice, about following evidence, about following science, and really letting that lead us in how we work with people.
Talk just a little bit about the evolution from an outcomes perspective when you say that, because I know that from recidivism perspective, the numbers in Nebraska are pretty good, but moving to that evidence-based practice where you're targeting what brings people into the criminal justice system to begin with, how have you seen that positively impact the communities and the people that we serve in probation?
Well, I would start with by saying, you know, at least I'm not familiar with any research that's out there that says punishment truly changes behavior. What I do know is that sometimes punishment is necessary, and there are those individuals that we describe as the people that we're mad at and the people that we're afraid of. The people that we're mad at are those people who have made serious mistakes, need to be held accountable for their behavior, but can change, and can change in such a way that they're no longer a threat to the community. The people that we're afraid of are those individuals who actually, they're the people that have harmed our friends and our family and our neighbors. And they're the people that we do need to seriously consider to be incarcerated at points in time. But when you talk about the evolution, we have to be really clear about what it takes to have people change. And that's why we talk about evidence-based practice and the 8 principles behind evidence-based practice and understanding what officers need to be skilled in order to be effective at making those changes. And so we've really had a transition in probation to ensure that officers are highly skilled in those areas that can most effectively change behavior, and therefore our outcomes are better. They're better than ever. And we have people come back to us and tell us thank you, and we have people who were in our system that are now part of our system. It does make a difference.
So if I am a fresh out of high school, or maybe even still in high school student, and I'm thinking, man, what would I like to do? You talk about being a highly skilled individual. You talk about the calling, and I think we hear that a lot from the staff in the probation office and around some of the other departments of the judicial branch. What would you say to me to encourage me to say, hey, give probation a chance. Give us a look. How would you encourage and maybe help recruit future probation officers into this field?
Well, one of the things that I would say is that if you are remotely intrigued by the justice system, probation is an amazing place to be, and a probation officer is an amazing place to be. You have an opportunity to influence outcomes by providing courts with pre-sentence investigations that the courts take very seriously. And as a result of those investigations, the judge has to make a decision, and they're making that decision based on the information that you provide. So what an amazing opportunity for you to be investigator, for you to be analyzing, for you to be providing such a life-changing document to the court. And it truly is a life-changing document. The court uses that information to decide what people will stay in the community and what people might need to be incarcerated. That's a pretty amazing skill that an officer has to have. And then you talk about supervision. One, supervision isn't what a lot of people think it is. It's not sitting behind a desk and telling people what to do and what not to do. Supervision really is about engaging with the individual, getting to know them, helping them discover what their challenges are, helping them develop what their strengths are, helping them to overcome addiction, helping them to maneuver into a new world that they've maybe never experienced before, such as sobriety. It's amazing how many people have never watched a football game sober. And with the help of a probation officer and with what supervision can mean for a person, it can change their entire life in the span of a year or 2 years or 9 months.
Every year during the month of July, there's a week that's dedicated as probation, parole, and community supervision week. Chief Justice has actually declared that week as probation week in the state of Nebraska. Why should people celebrate the staff of the Nebraska Probation Office? Why do you celebrate the staff of the probation office?
Okay, Gene, now you're going to start to make me cry. The work that probation does is so life-changing and so amazing. I keep saying that over and over again. How can you not celebrate those people who put their heart and soul into what they do every single day? It sounds a little cliche to say that they are the unsung heroes. But when you think about 16,000 people across the state of Nebraska that are under supervision, every single day these officers work to improve lives. That's their whole mission. That's their whole goal. How can you not celebrate that? How can you not celebrate what they do to help keep communities safe? They do to help our young people get back on the right path. What they do to ensure that today, what we know as our justice system doesn't have to be tomorrow what we know of our justice system, that we actually can reduce crime, that we actually can improve lives. That is something to celebrate. It's pretty amazing.
That it is. Couldn't have said it better myself. Administrator Deb Minardi, thank you very much for joining us, and we will talk to you next time.
Thanks, Gene.
Thank you again to Deb for joining us, as well as all of you for listening in. Please join us next time.